Good morning, everyone. This morning, Daf Yitches and Chulin finish up our discussion about Bediga Sakin, and then we're going to move on to discuss the parameters of where you shecht within an animal. I should have mentioned this earlier. In the Masechta, obviously we're going to be learning a lot about anatomy. And there's so many good books out there. This one was put out for the last cycle. Last time we went through Chulin, this one, I was going to say it's brand new, but it's not. It's now 7.5 years old, but either way. This one's excellent. They're all good. You know, this one is excellent. Tmunei Chol. Okay, it really is a good, it actually, I'll pass it around, I'll show, you know, you can look at it, you really enjoy it. It really helps me just in terms of sounding somewhat intelligent. Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we are still in the discussion about checking the knife. Okay, what did we get to yesterday? We talked about Ogeres, Mitzuch Seches. If it's Ola the Yared, right? Right, showing it to a Tamil Chacham, that's correct. How do you check your knife? Okay, we've now spent yesterday's daf discussing that you cannot have a pegam in the knife, you cannot have a nick in the knife, and we talked about a nick needs really to have two angles in order to be totally disqualified. If it has one angle, one little nick in it, which just goes down, so it could be okay. It really depends on which direction you shecht. But okay, that's what we discussed yesterday. How do you actually check the knife? So Bima Rav and Eretz Yisrael, Baskele B'Shimsha, they would check it with the sun. Check it with the sun. Now, what exactly does that mean, checking it with the sun? So Rashi over here offers two explanations. No, B'Shemesh V'Ron B'Chuda. So number one, they would hold it up to the sun. Right, the sun obviously is an extraordinarily bright light, and if there's any imperfection, if there's any flaw on the blade of the knife, so you would see it in the sunlight. That is one pshat that Rashi says. Lishna Achrin, Rashi then goes on to another pshat. Holach u'ma'amida b'shemesh chud l'malo mestakel b'tzila shel sakin. Hold it up to the sun and look at the shade, the shadow produced by the sun. So you'll see it in the shadow. Okay, one of two explanations Rashi gives. That's how they would do in Eretz Yisrael.
So when is it examined, right?
Before you shut.
The night.
Yeah, so then you wouldn't have, in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, so I don't know how they would check at night. Unless they check during the day and then they put the knife in a very, in a very special place. Okay, maybe. Naharda batgule b'maya. In Naharda, they would check in water. Now, how exactly does that work? So again, Rashi gives a couple explanations in terms of how you check in water. Rashi says, "Hofechu d'lamato umolicha al pnei amayim v'noga ma'at v'imyesh pegam oketz osik k'min chritz b'mayim b'halichasa." You would run the blade in water, and you would look to see if it would create like a constant wave, a nice smooth wave, or if there was like some sort of disturbance of the wave. Okay, and you would see if there was a pegam in the knife. Lishna achrino hofe chud lamala ve'ochsa biyado b'shipur roshal lamata umatif achud abetzmaum yesh pegam noflim sham ve'en yichom lech ad rosha. You would have water basically run along the edge of the knife. If there was a pegam in the knife, the water would stop. Okay. That was pshat number two. Rav Sheish is back to the Gemara. Badak le bereish lishna. Rav Sheshes would check the knife using the tip of his tongue. Okay. that's rather amazing. Okay. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Badak le bechut hasa'ara. He would check it using a hair. Rather remarkable, meaning a hair is really, really sensitive in terms of what it would get stuck on and what it would get caught on, and he would use a hair in order to check the knife. Besura Amre, in Surah, in the Yeshiva and Surah, they would say, Bisra Achla, Bisra Livdika. Look, you need the knife to cut through meat. So wouldn't it make most sense that the thing that should be in examining it should be something of a flesh-like object? Meaning your finger, or maybe your tongue. But all these other things, the sun, the water, it doesn't make sense that that should be the examining device of the knife. Amre Papa Tzricha Bidika Bisra Tofra. So Rav Papa says that, yes, you need to examine a knife and you need to do it with both your finger and your fingernail. Okay? So in other words, but now what we're saying, right? Again, we're going to go back to my knife, which is really my key. And at this point, the Gemara now is saying, according to Rav Papa, that you have to run your finger, meaning the actual flesh of your finger, along the blade of the knife in order to feel for any type of begima. And then after that, you have to take your fingernail and run your fingernail along the edge of the knife as well. Very interesting Tosos over here. Short Tosos, but very interesting. Tosos says, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because what's going to happen as we cut through the animals, we really have to cut through two different pipes. We have to cut through the trachea, and we have to cut through the esophagus. The trachea is made up of cartilage. I'm just, Tosos doesn't say all this, but I'm basically explaining. The trachea is made up of cartilage. The esophagus is a muscle. So, if you're gonna cut through two different types of material, so the knife has to be checked for both types. So, if you're checking with your finger has both muscle or flesh, and it's also got cartilage in the form of your fingernail. So when you're checking with your finger, that's for the esophagus. When you're checking with your fingernail, so that's going to be for the trachea. Okay, that's how Tosus explains what's behind Rav Papa.
And the Chacham does all this.
And the Chacham would do all this.
Right.
He's qualified to do all this.
Tufra's nail.
Tufra's fingernail. Amalei Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, Amalan Rav Sama Breid, Rav Misharshe, Mishmecha, Da Amart Lei, Mishmei, Da Rava, Tzricha Bedika, Abis Rav Tufa, Atlas Ruchasa. I heard say in the name of Rava that yes, you have to do the check that we just talked about, finger and fingernail, and I also heard that you have to do it on three sides, meaning, again, here's our handy knife, check on the top, fingernail, check on each side, fingernail, and on this side, finger and fingernail.
You don't cut with those.
Now, Ben remembers correctly, we said earlier in the Gemara, in Daf Ches, that you don't end up cutting with the sides, and the Gemara is about to make that point.
What if it has a...
Okay, wait. Yeah. So, okay, good. So, just wait. The Gemara is going to discuss. So, I heard this in the name of Rava, that this is what you have to do. So, that means that that's a total of six strokes in terms of checking the knife. Right? Finger and fingernail, top and the two sides. Okay, so that's six different ways that the knife needs to be checked. Correction, says the Gemara. True, you have to check with your finger and your fingernail. Not true, you have to check all three sides. You only need to check the blade of the knife, and that's it. Iga da amrei abis v'atufra v'atlas ruchasa amrei. Now some say that the correction comes in the following. Agreed, you have to check with your finger and fingernail. Agree that you have to check on all three sides. Disagree with the fact that Rava says it. That part is not correct. Okay. Ravina Ravacha Bre Dirava Havyasvi Kamad Ravashi, Aisu Sakan Lakamad Ravashi. So a knife was born in front of Ravashi, lived a king. So Amalela Ravacha Bre Dirava Bitka. So, right, it's like the knife gets passed from one person to the next. It's okay, you check it, it's okay. So, Badka Atufa V'Abisva Atlas Ruchasa. So, he does a bedika on the knife, and he uses his fingernail, and he does all three sides. Top of the knife, and each side of the knife. So, Amalei Yi Yasher. Right, you don't find this that often in the Gemara, he gives him a Yeshikoch. Okay, so Yi Yasher. Right, very good job. V'chein Amarav Kahana. So, and Rav Kahana said the same thing as well, meaning that you need to do bedika, fingernail, and three sides, top of the blade and the two sides of the blade. Rav Yemer Amar Tufra V'Abitzo Tzricha, Tlas Ruchas Solo Tzricha. Rav Yemer says, no, I disagree. Fingernail, yes, but you don't have to do all three sides. Lo Tzricha. Milo Amar Rav Zera Amar Shmuel, because the Gemara now reminds us of what we learned just 1 week ago, which is libein sakam mishachah b'shchita sukshera, that if I heat up a knife white hot and I shech with a knife, that shchita is good. Why? Shechiduda kodem lelivuna, because the blade actually gets through the two simanim prior to it singeing and burning the two simanim. the kashalan. Now we ask the question. This is just a review of everything we learned. Ha'ikat stadden. Now it's true that the actual blade itself, the front of the blade itself, is going to penetrate prior to it burning. That part's true. But as it's making its way through the siman, aren't the sides coming into contact with the siman, and aren't the sides burning and singeing the simanim? And what do we say? We said that as you cut through, it expands. So therefore, the size of the knife is not making any physical contact with the simanim. So much like that's true over there, that's going to be true over here as well. So even if there is some sort of protrusion, some sort of imperfection on the side of the knife, not a problem, not a concern. Hachanami beis hashchita mirvach ravach. Amar Rav Huna bar Rav Ketina. Amar Rav Shimon melak yishosh begimosim. Okay, good. Before we move on in the Gemara, so where are we right now in terms of the bedikas hasakin, the checking of the knife? So different ways to check it. The Gemara went through a number of different ways to check it. Seems like from the conclusion of the Gemara, the preferred way to check it is with your finger and your fingernail, right? And to do both. And it is debatable, right? A controversy in the Gemara, how many of the sides of the knife do you need to check? Do you just need to check the edge of the knife where you're going to be shechting, or do I need to check the sides as well? And the Gemara's conclusion seems to be I don't need to check the sides of the knife. Halacha, I did not look up, and I'm a little bit embarrassed because at one point I knew this really well. You have to check the sides? I don't think so. Okay, fine. So Gemara quotes now in the name of Reish Lakish. Shalosh pegimos hein. There are three pegimas. Pegimas esem bepesach, pegimas ozem bebechor, pegimas mum bekachim. Meaning that in three halachas, somewhat unrelated, but in three areas of halacha, we're going to be talking about pegima and just a simple nick, right? A little indentation. And that's it, and it's now a problem. Well, not a problem, but it's a nick. It has now the legal designation of an indentation. First of all, etzem bepesach. You know, the Torah says, etzem lo sishbu rubo. You're not allowed to break the bone of a carbon pesach. Not only is breaking going to be an issue, even if you make an indentation in the bone, amazingly enough, you violated the issur of etzem lo sishbu rubo. So it's interesting when you eat into your carbon pesach, you bite into your carbon pesach. You got to be careful when you get around the bone. You got to be like, you know, sensitive. You don't want to even, you know, I'd venture to say even if you bite into it and you whatever. Okay, a nick in the bone is an iser. Pegimas ozen bebechor. This is actually a positive thing. A nick in the ear of a bechor. Bechor is the firstborn animal. Where, without the base of mikdash, we have to wait till it develops a blemish. Once it develops a blemish, now we're allowed to eat it. A blemish is a physical imperfection in the external body of the animal. So even if there's a nick in the ear, smallest nick in the ear, that's considered a mum. Okay. Rashi points out, we just mentioned ear. It doesn't have to be an ear. There are many other simane mumim. There are many other areas of the animal that become blemished. It just happens to be ears, the first one mentioned over there in the Mishnah Bechoros. That's why we're talking about ear over here. Pegimas mum bekachim, and it's true also by kachim as well, meaning by all other kachim. Now Rashi explains over here, isn't this the same point that we just made regarding the Bechor? So Rashi says, it's pretty much the same point, but when we say kachim, we're talking about the whole world of kachim, both male and female animals, right? Bechor is only male. But we could also be talking about female animals, and anatomically speaking, there are blemishes on the female animal that do not exist by a male animal, just simply because it's anatomically different. Okay. See Rashi for more discussion on that.
Isn't the lip in Mumbai Bechor, I think
that's... Also lip as well. Again, when we get to Bechoros, we're going to talk about all the blemishes. V'Rav Chista Amar Af Begim Asakin, and now Rav Chista says we could also add to the list Begim Asakin, V'Idach. Now, how come Reish Lakish did not talk about this knife? The Gemara says Bechulin Lo Kamari, just simply because we're not categorically doesn't fit into our discussion. Reish Lakish was talking about things that have to do with Kachim, but not the knife. Because the knife is also by chulin as well. The kulan pegimas kedei pegimas hamizbeach. Now, how much of an indentation actually disqualifies? So the answer is same as it would by the mizbeach. And by the mizbeach, what kind of pegima disqualifies it? stones to build the Mizbeach have to be super smooth. Any indentation disqualifies the Lagab of the Mizbeach. So, Kedeshetach Gorbat Siporin. So, the stones on the Mizbeach are so smooth, you're going to run your fingernail over, and it's just going to slide right across the stones of the Mizbeach. Now, you got to wonder, how do the stones for the Mizbeach get that smooth? And the question becomes even stronger when you consider the fact that you're not even allowed to run any type of metal instrument over those stones. Right? Uvar zolosanif. So it could be that you rub stones together. Tosos makes a suggestion, top Tosos on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that these are stones that we collected from the river. River stones. Tosfos makes an argument, right? Give you the cliff notes of Tosfos. Tosfos makes an argument that the shamir, the worm that cuts the stones, does a great job cutting, does a terrible job smoothing. Okay. Tosfos goes through Gemara in Avodah Zarah to make his case that the shamir does not smooth out the stones. So, Tosfos suggests that the stones that are used are riverbed stones. So, Kedesh Tachar Bar Tziporin. Meisve, Kama Pegimas Mizbech, Rav Shimon Yochai Omer Tefach, Rav Lazar Omer Kezayis. The Gemara quotes over here in the name of Tanayim, various Shiurim in terms of what a Pegima from Mizbech is, but these are big Pegimas. We're talking about a Kezayis or a Tefach, right? That's right, those are inches. That's not the little indentation where your fingernail will get caught. So lokasha abisida haba avana. So the Gemara gives a very simple distinction. In terms of the actual stones themselves, stones have to be super smooth, where your fingernail cannot get caught in the stones. Then the stones have to be put together. Well, how are the stones put together? Plaster. So for the plastering of the stones, so that the plastering itself does not need to be super smooth. And for the plastering, a chip in the plaster is okay. How much of a chip now disqualifies? So then we're going to go back to either kezayis or tefach. Okay. Am Rav Huna, haytabcha delosar sakina kamechacham mishamtinan le. What if you have a shochet who's a little belligerent, right? Like very good shochet. Just I'm not showing my knife to the tamachacham, right? Belligerent. Okay. So the Gemara says mishamtinan le. You put him in chayim. Okay, excommunicate him, which at the time in the Gemara was a really big deal. Okay, nowadays it's a way to become popular, but in the time of the Gemara, it was not something that people look forward to. Rava Amar Ma'avirin Le Umechrazinan Abisre De Trefahi. So Rava takes it even one step further. It seems like he's arguing. He says we remove him from the guild, meaning you can't practice shechita anymore. And we actually make a proclamation that his meat is treif. Okay. Now that's a much bigger deal than mishamtina lay. So v'lo pligi kam b'shenimsev sakina yafa kam b'shelo nimsev sakina yafa. So the Gemara says really there's no machlokas over here. Meaning, for his belligerence, everyone agrees you put him in chayrim. Then do we go to the next step about announcing that his meat is treif? Well, that's going to depend. Meaning in the post facto examination of his knife, if we find that his knife actually has pegimas in it, so then we're going to go one step further, we're going to announce that his meat is treif. Ravina Amar Hechad Olo Nimsa Sakina Yafa Memas Mislei Beparuta. And Ravina goes even one step further. If his knife is not a good knife, if his knife had pegimas, so we're going to take the meat that he plans on selling and we're going to spread excrement over the meat. Okay. They didn't fool around back then. Meaning, right. And that what does that do? Aside from showing him how we feel about him, what that does now is that you cannot sell his meat. He won't be able to sell his meat even to a non-Jew. Okay. Okay, the Gemara tells an unbelievable story. This is an unbelievable Gemara. Gemara tells an unbelievable story where Tabach refused to show his knife to the Chacham of the community, who happens to have been Rava Bar Chinana. Shamte va'avre va'achrez abisra d'treifahi. So, he goes through all the steps, puts him in Chayrim, and removes him from the guild, and tells everybody that his meat is treif. Okay. Iklum Marzucha Ravash Lagabe, So now Marzuch and Rav Ashi go and pay him a visit, pay the Chacham Rava a visit. Amar lahu la'ainu Rabba bimilsei. Or le'ainu, I was thinking, that doesn't sound like the right girsa. Le'ainu rabbanan bimilsei detalo betafle. So now Rava Bar Chinana says to his visiting guests, his visiting Talmidei Chachamim, do me a favor. I need you guys to intercede. Meaning, here's what happened over here. Right? I had a shochet and he refused to show me the knife and I put him in cherem and now he's not selling his meat. But at the same time, it's just great, such a great story. It shows unbelievable sensitivity, even though the shochet was unbelievably defined. Right? Why? So the Rava says because he's got a lot of children that depend on him. And so I'm in a very awkward position now where I did what I had to do, which is I had to put him in cherem. He was defiant. On the other hand, can the two of you see if you can try to find some resolution to the problem so we can reinstate him back into being a shochet? So Badke Rav Ashi la'sakina v'nimsei siyafe v'achsherei. So Rav Ashi checked the knife, and Rav Ashi saw that the knife was a good knife that he shafted with, and Rav Ashi says, okay, your meat is okay. And he allowed the shochet to sell his meat. So Amalei marzucha v'lo leichush ma l'saba. You've only dealt with one of the issues, which is the meat might be a good meat and the shechita might be a good shechita, but what about his defiance and what about the fact that, you know, he was belligerent towards Rava?
One more question. What makes them assume that if the guy shows one knife to the Chacham, he's not going to use another knife?
Right.
How do they check for that?
Correct. Because he's belligerent doesn't take away all of his nemanus, right?
In general, like when they rely on just showing one knife,
because innocent, we work with an assumption of innocent until proven guilty. Meaning, the showing of the knife is just an act of kavod. That's not really what makes us believe now that he's going to do it correctly. The fact of the matter is, he has a cheskas kashrus, and the showing of the knife is just for kavod chacham. So now the Gemara says, okay, so but how do you deal with the fact that he was disrespectful? Amar lei shluchusei ka'avdina. He says, no, when I went and checked the knife, I was accomplishing two things. Number one, I was checking the knife to make sure that the shechita was good, and also I was shlichus, I was sent by proxy. So that meant then that the fact that he allowed me to check the knife is in a way allowing Rava to check the knife as well, and so therefore I'm totally reinstating him. Amar Rava Barhuna Shain Tlusha Vitipan Tlusha Mutlushopa. You can shech using teeth. Okay? Rashi points out over here, animal teeth, human teeth, it's okay, it's all good. You can shech using teeth. Now remember, we learned this earlier, the teeth have to be removed from the body. They have to be a detached tooth. Okay? Fingernails. Now I think claws would be an easier discussion over here because claws are hard and right, you're talking about human fingernail. Although human fingernails were used as shechita in terms of birds, in the form of malika, so okay, we could be. I guess we can go in either direction, right? But the lion claw, though, a claw is certainly much easier to envision. So lechatchila, so you can use these items, detached teeth and detached nails, to shecht. Okay. The ha'anan tanan chutz mi magok sir v'hamager v'ashkinaim v'tzipar mimnesha in chonkin. So the Gemara says, simple question, what about the Mishnah? Mishnah says that you're not allowed to shecht using teeth. So the Gemara says, and you're not allowed to shecht using fingernails. Gemara says, both of these I can answer. Shein ashein lo kasha habechada habetarte. Look, when it comes to teeth, I'll give you a very simple answer. If I'm using one tooth, so that's fine. Now you'll ask me the obvious question, one tooth is not long enough. To shecht, what's going on over here? So Rashi points out, we're going to learn later on in the perek, that remember shechita is a back and forth motion, so there really is no width requirement by a knife because you just keep going back and forth and back and forth, and so that's fine.
They tear, don't they?
Huh?
Teeth and claws
tear. Well, no, sharpen it. You got to sharpen it so it gives you the cutting motion. Right, but once it's good and sharp, so then now you're just going to keep going back and forth. But two teeth, interestingly enough, that's going to be a problem because with two teeth, there's going to be a groove in between the two teeth, and so now you have a pegima. Now you have basically a built-in knife with a pegima. So that's going to be so the Mishnah that says that you can't shecht with teeth, so that means that's two teeth with a groove in between. And Tosfos points out, if you the Mishnah is very good because the Mishnah says shinayim. Oh, good, excellent. So that's the difference between the Mishnah versus the statement made by Rabbah. And as far as nails, fingernails are concerned, tziporon lokasha habetulusha b'mechuberis. Here we'll also give a very simple distinction. If the claw is detached, then you can check with it. If the claw is attached, then you can't check with it, because we're going to assume, like Rebbe, that you can't check with something which is mechubar. Okay. Next Mishnah that we're up to, Ashochet b'magok sir b'derech halicha sa b'sham eposim b'esolam achshirim v'im hechliku shineha hari kesakin. Shechting with a magok katsir. Now, this is a sickle that they used for the harvesting. Now, obviously, with a sickle, it was serrated, but the serrations did not protrude out. They protruded to the side. So, you can cut, assuming that you're working with the serrations. Meaning, so that basically what's happening is that it's as you're cutting through the siman, it's jumping over from one to the other, and it doesn't get caught on the actual serration. Now, obviously, if I went in the other direction, then you are basically tearing at the pipe. So obviously, the Mishnah is describing now going not against the serrations, but together with the serrations. So Basil says it's okay; the meat is good, and Beishame says the meat's no good. Now, Amar Bichya Bar Abba Amar. And then the Mishnah makes one more point, which is if you're machlik shineha, if you smooth it down now to where it's one single blade, so then obviously it's fine. Amar Bichya Bar Abba Amar Yochan Afke Shechshiru Beisil Alo, Hechshiru Ela Latarim Minde Nevela. Ava Ba'achila Asura. So Rabbi Chia says that in our Mishnah, Beisil says it's okay, but okay doesn't mean you can eat it. Okay means that it's shechted so that it's no longer a nevela, but you can't eat it, right? For fear that really you cut it with a serrated knife. Yeah, I know the serrations are inclined, and I went not against it, I went with it, but still, now I wouldn't eat it. I'm Ravi Ashi. Dekanami diktani beisham eposim beisalam achshirin v'lo ktani beishalo osim beisalam atirin. In fact, if you read the Mishnah carefully, it does sound that way, because the Mishnah uses terminology of pasul versus kosher, as opposed to using iser v'heter. Meaning, if we're talking about eating, the terminology that we would use is iser v'heter. Ula tamech lisnei beisham emetamim beisalam atirin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'm not buying into that. If really the conversation of the Mishnah was about just Tum and Tahara, you know what the Mishnah would say? Tum and Tahara. And the Mishnah doesn't. El aposum v'machshirin v'osner matirin chadam ilzehi. Pasul versus kosher and iser v'heter, those are linguistically the same. So really the Mishnah is talking about eating, the kashrus of the meat, and Beisil would allow you to eat the meat even if you shechted with this type of sickle.
What do we go by?
I assume Basil, and not just Basil, but the last interpretation of Basil. Okay, good. All right. I'm going to try to sound intelligent. I know there are a lot of physicians in the room right now, which I'm very grateful for. I say anything stupid or anything outright dumb. So, right. So, please correct me. Okay.
You said you're passing.
Right. Okay. We are going to be talking now about the parameters of where you shecht. Your objective when you shecht an animal is to cut through two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus. Okay, you're going through the front of the neck, and so obviously the first thing you're going to be making contact with is the trachea. And you're going to go all the way through the trachea, and then you're going to continue going, and you're going to be cutting through the esophagus as well. Trachea in the Mishnah is referred to as the kana, and the esophagus is the vesht, right? Vav shin tes. Now, there are basically, those are your two basic guidelines in terms of shechting, okay? With all the psula shechita as well, but we're now just going to be talking about the parameters of where you shecht. Now, the trachea begins right at the top of your throat. And the trachea is made up of cartilage rings that run down your neck all the way to your lungs. Okay? one ring after another ring after another ring. These are the cartilage rings that make up the trachea.
Trachea starts.
Yeah, you go.
Your tongue to your trachea is actually the larynx.
Oh, okay, fine.
And then from there, the trachea starts.
Okay, so good. So, in fact, we're going to be talking a lot about that. Okay, now, so essentially now, in order for the shechita to be good shechita, you have to cut anywhere on the kana. Okay, we're going to qualify that statement excessively, but anywhere on the kana would be a good shechita. If you cut too high or too low, meaning if I cut not where the trachea is, but I cut the lungs, that's obviously not a good shechita. It's got to be the actual trachea itself. Here in this Mishnah, we're going to be talking about only one. There are two limits, obviously, to talk about in the world of the trachea. There is the cranial limit, meaning the one that is closer to the head, and there's a caudal limit, which is the one closer to the rear of the animal. This Mishnah is only going to be talking about the cranial limit in terms of where you can shecht an animal. So, okay, now there's one other important piece of information to know. In the actual trachea, so it's, as I mentioned, it's made up of cartilage rings. Now, again, you can. I'll pass the book around afterwards if you want to see it inside. Just great, great pictures. Okay. In terms of the rings, the cartilage rings of the trachea, so all the rings are not really full rings. They don't create a full circle. But rather what happens is that it's basically a horseshoe ring, and it attaches to the tissue on the top, meaning the dorsal side of the animal, the side that is to the back of the animal, it has basically a strip of tissue, and the trachea basically attaches itself to that tissue, and so the tabas, the rings of the animal, are not full rings. Okay? Not like Montoya circle. It's a horseshoe. Okay. Until you get to the very top ring. And I say top, now I'm talking towards the cranium, the cranial ring. That ring is referred to as either hatabas, the ring, or we'll use terminology of tabas gedola, right, the big ring. Right? What makes this ring different than all other rings is actually is a full circle. It is a full circle of cartilage, that top ring. So essentially now in our Mishnah, we're going to be talking about shechting in the area of the tabas gedola. Now, okay.
For the vocal cords. So
more to discuss about that. Vocal cord, tomorrow's Gemara. All right, we'll talk about the vocal cord and where exactly the vocal cord is located in. What if you cut in the vocal cord? Okay, we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll start, however, with a Mishnah. Hashochem mitoch hatabas, right? You see that? It says hatabas, the ring, because we're talking about now the cranial ring. So hashochem mitoch hatabas v'shar ba malochut al p'nei kula shchitas k'sheira. Rabbi Yehuda omer malochut al p'nei ruba. The machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama says that, first of all, the cranial ring is the most extreme limit in terms of where you could shecht. You cannot go higher, cranially speaking, than the tabas hagedola, than the cranial ring. Okay. Not only that, but as the knife is cutting through the ring, the knife has to be within the limit of the ring. Meaning that when you finish the shechita, you need to see a remnant of the entire cranial ring. Meaning you're going to cut through the cranial ring, but you need to see a remnant of the entire cranial ring. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. If you do not, meaning, according to the Tanakhama, if you cut through this hatabas, through the cranial ring, and even at the very last point, you incline, and you cut above the cranial ring, that's a disqualified shechita. Now, keep in mind, and that's a huge chiddush, because in halacha, we have a concept of rov, right? Ruba kukulo. We're going to be learning later on in the Masechta that I don't even need to cut the whole pipe. As long as I cut the majority of the pipe, that would be sufficient. And that's true both for the kana and for the vesht. And according to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, if I am magrim hagrama means going beyond the limit, going outside the limit. If I'm magrim, even after having successfully cut the majority of the ring, and then I get to the last 10% of the ring, and I am inclining, and I go outside of the tabas hagedola, so the shechita is a shechita psula. That's a big chiddush, requires...
You
you're producing a nevela.
And the animal is going to be a nevela. Absolutely correct. That's a huge chiddush.
That's not the tricky anymore.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's exactly the point of the Tanakhama. But appreciate the chiddush, however. It's an unbelievable chiddush because imagine this. Imagine I stopped at that point in time. Shechita would be fine. Now I know there's still an esophagus to go, but in other words, if we just focus on the trachea, if I just cut there and I stop there, that would be fine. But the fact is that I go outside the trachea, even though I'm past the majority, the shechita is going to be shechita psula. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. The second opinion of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And he says what we would expect somebody to say, which is, as long as the majority was cut within the trachea, within the tabas gadola, even though at the end he went outside, it's fine. Why? Rove, ruba kakula. Because you shechted most of it within the parameter, so then you're fine.
Is this just limited to the top rank, or it could be the bottom rank?
I shouldn't tell you. Wait, I'll say it right now. So now, Rashi says the following. There are people out there, says Rashi, that believe that this discussion that we're having right now is not limited to the cranial ring. It is true by all the cartilage rings of the trachea. Rashi says there are some people who believe that once you are shechting and you're within one of the cartilage rings, any one of the cartilage rings of the trachea, so then the same discussion in our Mishnah is true. Where according to the Tanakhama, you have to continue in that ring for the duration of the Shechita, and according to Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, as long as you win the majority of that ring.
So what if you cut...
Wait, just give me one moment. Just give me one moment. Rashi says he totally rejects such a pshat. Rashi says that we are not discussing each and every ring of the cartilage. We are only discussing parameters, and even in the world of parameters, we're only discussing the cranial parameter of the shechita. So this discussion is not a discussion in rings as much as discussing what is the upper and lower limits of the trachea. So Rashi says he does not buy into this pshat at all.
So they call it the hump here. So
you could cut... Is it possible to cut between the rings and that's in the trachea and that's fine?
Yeah, in other words...
You don't have to cut. You don't have to aim for the ring.
Correct.
In the below,
correct.
Below the big
correct.
Ring.
And again, if I was in the business, I'd understand this a little bit better, but I can't imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you can actually feel the...
No, I mean, that's
right? You're with me on this.
And a person, you can't because you get smooth skin, so it's easier, but an animal with the skin, it's...
I can't imagine that you can actually feel four cartilage rings. Okay. Anyway, Rashi dismisses. Rashi says he does not believe that is at all correct. All right. We'll start with the Gemara. Rav Ushmol Damri Tavai Alach Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. Okay. So we'll start off with the following. Statement by Rav and Shmuel that they agree with Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, they believe that the halacha falls like Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. Mind you, by the way, okay, and Hedy, I'm saying this really for you, but for everyone as well, what the halacha is going to be, not till tomorrow. Okay, it's a cliffhanger. You can't ask, don't ask me today. Now, I'm being serious because the Gemara is going to give us a number of opinions and, okay, I'm begging. Wait till tomorrow to ask me what the halach is. So, the Amri Tavai halach Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. So, the Gemara quotes Rav and Shmuel, and they said the halach is like Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. Okay? And Rashi over here makes two short words, Ruba Kakula. Yeah, because of Rov. Okay. The Af Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda lo Amar, Ela B'tabas HaGadola. Ho Makefes is Kolakana. Ava B'shar Tabas lo. Then Rav and Shmuel make an unbelievable statement. They say that even according to Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, you know the only place you can shecht is Tabas Gadola. You cannot shecht any other place of the animal.
We're already saying that this only applies to the big one.
Okay.
But you can miss that.
Wait. Okay? I'm with you. Just wait. Rav and Shmuel say that even Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda says that this is true only by the Tabas Gadola. But this is not going to be the case and any other area of the trachea. Okay. Now, it sounds like what Rav and Shmuel are saying is that the only place that you can cut in terms of the animal is only in the Tabas HaGadola. Meaning that you have an entire trachea to work with, right? And in some animals, the trachea is extraordinarily long. You have an entire trachea to work with. And it sounds like that Rav and Shmuel are saying within Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, that you can only shecht the Tabas HaGadola. which gives you a very, very limited area in terms of where you can shecht. And the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Ubishar Tabas Love Atanya Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Omer Hashoch Bishar Tabas Afa Pishem Akifa says Kolakana Hol Makifa says Ravakana Shchita Sokshera. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa couldn't be any clearer that according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, you can shecht any one of the rings of the trachea. It doesn't have to be the Tabas HaGedola. Any ring would be fine. And even though by all the other ones it doesn't make a full circle, as I described earlier this morning, it only goes up until it makes a horseshoe and it goes up to the dorsal end and it stops over there, but that's fine. It's still kana, it's still the trachea, and it would be a good makam shchita. Good. That's what the Braisa says. So immediately you realize what's Rav and Shmuel talking about. Okay, so hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to come back and we're going to qualify. Then the Braisa says, we're going to read on in the Braisa, umagrim psula. If you're magrim is going outside the limit, it's going to be pasul. Rashi points out, this is the Tanakama talking right now, Tanakama of our Mishnah, that at any point in time, if you go outside of the Tabas HaGedola, you will disqualify the animal. The animal is now pasul. Hey, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, amagrim shik shera. And Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus gives testimony that if you're magrim, if you go outside, it's going to be kasha. Okay, we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. In the meantime, however, we're a little bit lost because Rav and Shmuel say that you can only shecht Tabas Gedola, and they're saying it in Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And meanwhile, we just quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa says that according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, you can shecht anywhere you want, up and down the trachea. So I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Tarti Kamar. So Rav Yosef says that according to Rav and Shmuel, let me start that sentence again. According to Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda is really saying two things. Number one, he's saying that any part of the trachea you can cut. And number two, he's also saying that that you all you have to do is cut the majority.
Off the top ring.
And so he's making two statements. And Rav and Shmuel savre kavase bechada upligi aleha bechada. So on the point of majority, we agree with Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. On the point of cutting the other rings, we disagree with Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Meaning, according to Rav and Shmuel, you only are allowed to cut on the Tabas HaGedola. You can't cut any of the other rings.
That restriction of majority, or in general?
In general. Now, the Gemara points out, if you go back, you turn back the page, and you look at the bottom of the Amud, and you read Rav and Shmuel, that's not the impression you get. And the Gemara makes that comment right now. V'halo amar ka'amre? The if you read the words, it's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, lo amar ela. It sounds like they're qualifying Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, not disagreeing with him. Hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, this is what Rav and Shmuel meant. Halach kamosa b'tabas gedola v'ein halach kamosa b'shar tabas. Meaning, as far as the Tabas Gedola is concerned, so we agree. We absolutely agree. The cranial ring, we absolutely agree with him. Meaning that you only have to cut the majority of it. And even if you go outside after the majority, it's fine. As far as cutting any other ring, we disagree. Okay? Rav has the authority. We've seen this many times. Rav has the authority to disagree with the Tana. And so Rav disagrees. Okay. We're going to end today's daf with just an amazing story. Today has some of the best stories. In the context of the halacha that we're discussing, Kisalag Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera makes aliyah. Okay? Before there was Nefesh Menefesh, people still... shout out to my good friend Rabbi Fass. People were still going and making aliyah. Rabbi Zera makes aliyah. And, you know, when you go to Israel, so, you know, things that you did in Chutz Aretz, well, usually you get firmer when you go to Eretz Yisrael. So here, Rabbi Zera did something that he would never do in Bava. Acha mugremes de Rav and Shmuel. He ate, now please don't misunderstand me, he ate treif meat. Now, he didn't. But understand that in Eretz Yisrael, when they shechted, so they had the whole neck. You could cut anywhere in the trachea. Now, when Reb Zera was coming from, The only shechita that was a good shechita was the one that where you shechted the Tabas Gedola. Oh. So in Eretz Yisrael, he did something that he would never do outside, and that he ate meat from an animal that was shechted, and it was shechted in the Shar Tabas, in the other rings of the trachea. Amr lei lav mi'asa derav shmol at. So they say to Rabbi Zera, you can't do that. Now the Mishnah Pesachim, we know this Mishnah Pesachim very well, that when you go to a new place and you have minhagim that of places that you come from, you got to keep your minhagim even though you go to a new place. Okay, so Amalan mat man amra, so man amra, so listen. Oh, this story is unbelievable. So amra, so Rabbi Zera says, first of all, let's remind ourselves, who taught us the halacha of Rav and Shmuel? That comes via Rav Yosef. I can never say this story. I can only say the story in the context of the Gemara. So Rabbi Zera says, Rav Yosef is the one who taught us the halacha of Rav and Shmuel. I'm not sure. Kaman Amra Yosef. I'm sorry. Amra Lehu Man Amra Yosef Barchia. Yeah, Rashi points out Yosef Barchia is the Rav Yosef that we're used to hearing. Yosef Barchia Mikule Amagamar.
Is this Rav Yosef's uncle?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
This wasn't Rav's
uncle. I can't imagine. Right.
Rav Yosef, who right. He supported Rav and Shmuel.
Yeah, right. But he says Rav Yosef Barchia Mikule Amagamar. He learns from anybody. He's not discriminating when he learns. And right, Ezru Chacham Alomin Mikol Adam. I mean, it's good.
He is seen as opposed to
Avraham. Right, correct. He'll learn from just about anybody. He doesn't discriminate. So Kuli Amagamer Shamar. I'm sorry. And so and basically what he's saying is,
You may have learned from somebody else.
Yeah, you may have learned it from somebody else, and maybe Rav and Shmuel didn't say it, and Rabbi Zera is questioning. He's questioning whether or not Rav and Shmuel ever really said such a thing. Because remember, this is all came to us via Rav Yosef. Whew. Shama Rav Yosef Ikbid. Now Rav Yosef hears this, okay, and Rav Yosef naturally gets angry. Rav Yosef says, really, first of all, I learned the halacha directly from Rav. That's number one. Number two, says Rav Yosef, number two is that I'm so careful when I learn something from somebody, and even if it comes out that, we see this all the time in the Gemara, there's a statement that's made. Some people say that the source of the statement comes from this Amara, and some say it comes from this Amara. When I repeat the statements, if it's a suffix of who says it, I even say that. I make sure that people know that it's a suffix, who says it. I'm so careful about giving proper credit to the person who says it. Right, it gives an example. Right, some say that Rav say it, some say that Shmuel say it. Right, an examination of a firstborn animal. If I don't have an expert, I can go to three people. They can examine the animal and they can be mocked to the animal. Okay, not for now, right now. That's not our discussion right now. But just an example of, you see that I'm so careful when I repeat things. Okay. Fine. Okay, so let's just say it like this. Next Thanksgiving, I don't think Rav Yosef is going to be inviting Rabbi Zera over. Okay, let's just say it like that. They're not. It didn't seem like that discussion ended well. Now, the Gemara, one more point. I know the hour is late. One more point, and then we'll stop for today. Rav Zera leif leinosin lav chumri amak mishiyatza misham chumri amak mishalach lisham. The Gemara now asks such a simple question, such a basic question. I don't understand, Rabbi Zera. You come from Bavel. So over there, Shechita was done only in the Tabas HaGadola, according to Rav and Shmuel. And now you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to give up your minhag? How do you do that? The Mishnah Pesachim says that you got to take your minhagim with you.
If he didn't set that attribution in the first place, what makes you think that in Bavel he was following it?
Okay, so, good. Your question essentially will turn into the Gemara's answer, but Amar Abaye Hani Mili Mi Bavel Abavel Meretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Inami Meretz Yisrael Abavel. When do you got to drag your minhagim with you? That's if you move, relocate from New York to Boca. I'm just saying. or from Haifa to Yerushalayim. That's when you got to drag your menhagim with you. But Avami Bavel Eretz Yisrael Kevin Dan and Kaifina Lahu Abdin and Kavasaihu. The Gemara says, but when you go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't got to drag your menhagim with you. Eretz Yisrael is a center point. Eretz Yisrael is where everything happens. Rashi gives a number of examples, right? Knas can only be established in Eretz Yisrael. Ibra Chodesh can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the center point. So when you go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't got to drag your menhagim with you. Eretz Yisrael is the center point. Okay, answer number one. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema Mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael Hani Mi Lehecha Dedaito Lachzor. Answer number two, Rav Ashi says, Even if it's true that you got to drag your menhagim, and even if you normally have to drag your menhagim from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that's only if you plan on returning back to Bavel. But if you're going to Eretz Yisrael and you plan on staying in Eretz Yisrael, and that's it, this is a life-changing moment, so then you don't have to drag your menhagim with you. Everyone should be thinking about right now, one day versus 2 days of Yontif. Yeah, that's... By this answer of Rav Ashi, right, essentially now will shape the whole discussion of right, 1 day or 2 days. So, if you are going but planning on coming back, again, this is all now Rav Ashi talking, so you got to drag your menhagim with you. Our minhag, right, here in Chutz Laaretz is 2 days of Yontif. Minhag Avos Enu Biyadeinu. Good. And then, you know, further analysis, which is not for us for now, right now, because this is Daf Yomi and we're about to end, but is the first answer disagreeing with the Rav Ashi? Meaning, the Gemara presented two answers to this question. The first answer takes issue with that second answer? Okay, that obviously requires further analysis, but now you begin to see where the discussion of 1 day versus 2 days, where that discussion comes from. It comes from a Gemara right here. Okay, I told you part two of the parameters of Shechita and the neck is coming up tomorrow. Okay, and tomorrow, more anatomy, more understanding of the trachea and the upper extremity of the trachea.